Welcome back to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. I'm your host, Dana Montes of Real Food with Dana. I'm a nutritionist and body image coach, teaching women how to heal their relationship with food and their bodies, ditch the diet cycle for good, and truly thrive with real food, one delicious meal at a time. For some truth bombs, we're back with episode 84 of the Real Talk with Dana podcast, and Christina Hoyt Alvarez is back on the podcast. You guys have probably heard her a couple of times before on the podcast. Off the top of my head, she's been on episode 3, 15, 16, 40-something, 57, like many, many, many times. We also run the Break the Diet Cycle online group coaching group together. But today, Christina's back for another episode, and we are getting deep and sweaty into talking about intuitive eating, mindful eating, neutral nutrition, and why intuitive eating isn't working for you, or why you think you might not be making progress with intuitive eating. And first of all, we just want to acknowledge here that this shit is hard, and we get it. And moreover, it's extremely hard to tackle the non-dieting world and transition away from diet culture on your own without working with a professional. Because how are you supposed to learn to eat intuitively if you've been hearing diet talk your entire life and that's buried deep in your subconscious? How are you supposed to know if intuitive eating is working or if you're making progress if the way that you're used to measuring progress is through the lens of diet culture? So all questions to examine. At the end of this episode, we're also going to give you a ton of like concrete action steps that you can take to help you assess where you are in this process and kind of some new benchmarks that you can use for progress or of whether or not this is quote unquote working for you. But specifically in the episode, we're going to be talking about why people quit intuitive eating and go back to dieting, macro and calorie counting, because it feels safe, what working really means to you in terms of intuitive eating, how we're measuring progress, and progress according to who, really, and why you may not be seeing progress with intuitive eating, especially if you equate progress with things like weight loss or aesthetics and stuff like that, why you might feel out of control when you start intuitive eating, some of the biggest struggles that people see when transitioning to intuitive eating, bringing a dieting mentality into intuitive eating, and then how to eat with curiosity, not hostility, and to kind of get out of the all or nothing mentality with eating intuitively. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Fun fact about me right now, I am currently in Bali. So if I'm not responding to your Instagram DMs or anything like that, that is probably why I'm most likely super, super jet lagged right now and hopefully having a fantastic time. But before I start this episode, I did just want to let you guys know that this is very much the kind of banter and information that Christina and I talk about both with our individual clients and with our group coaching program. And we are going to be running another round of Break the Diet Cycle with so much new content. It's basically getting a whole revamp. More details to come later in September on that, but I'm pretty sure we're going to be launching the round in October. So I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to sign up for more information about that. Besides that, enjoy the episode with Christina. Guys, today Christina is back on the podcast because there's a topic that we have been hearing about a lot, and we figured we wanted to, one, put our own two cents into it, and two, kind of like dispel some myths about a very popular topic that's trying to be co-opted by diet culture and Weight Watchers and all of the things. So we wanted to talk about why intuitive eating isn't working for you, or why you think intuitive eating couldn't work for you. So that is going to be the main topics of discussion today.
And if you know us at all, there's probably going to be about 10 other side conversations.
Yeah. All related back, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'll bring it home. We bring it home.
We always bring it home.
Yeah, so do you want to talk about how we got started with this conversation?
Yes.
Yeah, what happened was we kept hearing from people saying like, you know, intuitive eating isn't working for me and that's why I don't do it. And that's why I continue, you know, counting macros and whatever and doing all of the things.
Yeah. Going back to dieting, like going back to things that you've tried and, you know, have like quote unquote worked for you before, basically that have given you weight loss before. Right.
Yeah. Who've given you weight loss and maybe even just some like parameters around how you should and shouldn't be eating, quote unquote. Right. Like,
yeah,
I think people like that. And so, we wanted to kind of talk about why intuitive eating might not be working for you. And then what that really means, you know, in a nutshell.
Yeah. And so, I think an important thing to remember about this is like, we didn't create intuitive eating. And I think over the past couple of years that Christine and I have been working together, especially since we started Break the Diet Cycle, we have kind of come up with our own version of intuitive eating that like combines the principles of intuitive eating, but also combines our principles of like evidence-based nutrition and the things that we know that our bodies need on like a physiological and biological level in order to function well. So this is kind of our spin off of it. I don't know that like Evelyn Tribole, who's one of the creators of intuitive eating, would 100% agree with what we're doing. But I think especially in light of the way that her concept of intuitive eating has been co-opted by diet culture, it's important to take a couple of other things into account so you can really figure out like, okay, even if you're not going to call it intuitive eating, what is something that can actually work for me that isn't just going back to the rules, the yes, no foods lists, the counting, all of those things.
Yeah. And I think an interesting, like another piece that kind of fits into this puzzle, there's like a couple of things that came up, but one thing in particular is I think this idea that intuitive eating won't work for you, and I use the air quotes around working, is a major barrier to enter into the world of trying to break up with diets to begin with. And so I think that it's important for people to know that one, intuitive eating isn't the only thing you can do, right? I mean, by no means am I an intuitive eating expert, or do I even really teach intuitive eating? I don't even know all 10 of the principles. I don't, you know,
yeah,
I've never read the intuitive eating book. So I just want it to be known that I'm not an intuitive eating expert or even like an intuitive eating preacher either, mm-hmm. you know? I am, however, a preacher of learning to trust your body and listening to what your body needs and educating yourself on the myths around nutrition.
Right. And I think that, yeah. And I think that's what kind of we use, like Christina and I use intuitive eating as, because it's just like the best word that encompasses all of those things, but you could call it eating mindfully and informed, like eating informed of what your body is listening or listening to your body and hearing what your body is actually saying. Or it could be eating intuitively, not in the sense of like, oh, I'm intuitive eating, you know, trademark all of the things, but I'm just eating according to my intuition because I have now tuned in to what my body is actually telling me that it needs. And I'm hearing those things and I'm actually listening to what my body is telling me and then honoring those things that it has been telling me.
Yeah. And I think that the major principles and the basics around intuitive eating is kind of giving you a permission slip and a roadmap to lead you there. Like that's the idea. So should we talk about how it's not quote unquote working? Like, do we want to talk about that now or?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as like a kind of preamble to this, like learning to eat intuitively as we are calling it, or even just, you know, the intuitive eating principles, like it's hard and we get that and we understand it, that this isn't something that's going to happen overnight or like over a week or with a 30-day program, right? And it's extremely hard to do it alone without working with a practitioner or without working with like a group program or something like that. And one thing that Christine and I were talking about yesterday when we were just like preparing for this podcast, which normally when we do episodes together, it's like we have a phone conversation for like an hour and a half. We're like, oh my God, we should have just recorded that because we just have so many things that come out. But one thing that Christina, you said yesterday that really stuck with me was like, how are you supposed to actually learn to intuitively eat or eat without these rules if you've been hearing diet talk and diet culture your entire life? You basically have to be re-educated, and it takes a village. And this is why a lot of people will go back to their, whatever their favorite set of rules is, or like looking for the next shiny new thing to take the responsibility away for that from them and put it on someone else. And like, maybe you tried intuitive eating and you thought you were giving your body exactly what it needed, but now you don't think it's working because you aren't seeing progress. So I think where we can start is like, let's break down that sentence. Is like, what does working mean to you in terms of intuitive eating? And so if it were to be working, what would that look like? And this is something that you guys, we want you to think about at home, because then you can use this tool to assess anything that you're trying with food, exercise, lifestyle stuff, whatever. Like, if this tool that I'm going to be using, whatever it is, if it were to be working, if I were to have success with this tool, what does that mean? And what would that actually look like to you? Because that's really the only way to assess if you're making progress or if it's working. Right? And there's like no right or wrong answer here. It's just like, what does this mean to you? So I think that's kind of what we want to explore at first.
Yeah. And kind of unpack what milestones you're utilizing and where those are coming from too. So I think like the elephant in the room that we're kind of dancing around is utilizing weight loss. So I think the idea that a lot of people bring into intuitive eating is this idea that they still want to lose weight, right? And so they go into intuitive eating thinking, okay, as bringing this diet mentality into intuitive eating, because it's really hard to break down that that diet mentality, because it's been told for years and years and years, and that's what we're expected to do. It's socially acceptable, and it's what everyone else is doing. So now people are saying, okay, how do I bring, okay, so I want to eat more intuitively. Okay, maybe this is the right thing for me to do. This seems more reasonable. It seems less restrictive. So, oh, wow, all foods are welcome. Cool. Like, maybe I can get into this. But then we're still having this noise in the background. My body's not good enough. I need to lose weight. And I'm going to use intuitive eating in order to get there, which is fundamentally what intuitive eating is not. Intuitive eating is not in any way, shape, or form designed to encourage weight loss. So when we bring that in and we're using that as our barometer for working, or God forbid we gain weight, you know, when we bring that in, of course, you're going to think that intuitive eating isn't working for you, because you're still utilizing weight loss and weight gain as either the positive or the negative on whether or not it's working or not, and the idea of progress.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is I think that we've become so accustomed to associating success with weight loss because we've been conditioned that weight loss is healthier and smaller equals better, and gaining weight equals you are unhealthy, equals you're unmotivated, undisciplined, you're going to have cardiovascular disease and diabetes and all of these things. Of course, that's what we think. You know, like we hear that. And of course, that's something that that would be deeply ingrained in your subconscious, is the only way for me to be successful in this is to lose weight. And so then you assume if you're not losing weight in intuitive eating and in listening to your body, then you're doing it wrong. And I just pulled up, Evelyn Tribol is, again, one of the creators of intuitive eating. And one of her tenets is intuitive eating is about creating a healthy relationship with food, mind, and body. It's also about bringing joy and pleasure back to the experience of eating. It's not about the pursuit of weight loss. So you can have success in intuitive eating without it being about pursuing weight loss. But we think that one of the biggest stumbling blocks here is a lot of people have the intention of wanting to start listening to and hearing their body's signals more and honoring their hunger and honoring what their body really wants. But at the same time, you still bring this mentality of like, quote unquote, progress, and progress equating to weight loss or shrinking your body. And that's why they think that they're not being successful or they're not seeing progress with intuitive eating.
Also, let's not dance around the fact that when you've gone from restricting and having a very dieting mentality, intuitive eating is intimidating and scary AF, because it's basically saying everything that you've done before that you're comfortable with doing, you're no longer doing now. And so when we go out of that very restrictive kind of mode, and whether or not it's like actual restriction or perceived restriction, I know people feel like they're not restricting because they feel like they eat all of the things and stuff like that, but you still are, whether you're mentally or it's like perceived or not, right? When we go through that and then we're kind of moving our way out of that, and we all of a sudden give ourselves like, okay, I'm now going to do this instead, and I'm going to jump in to intuitive eating, you basically say, okay, I'm now supposed to forget and block out everything I've ever heard before and now do this instead. And we have been told our entire lives that, one, you can't trust yourself, and two, if you don't follow the rules, you're gonna go crazy and you're gonna eat everything in sight and you're gonna gain weight, nobody's gonna love you, and your life is gonna fall apart. Like, you know what I mean? That's like the trajectory. So no wonder when you start with intuitive eating, it can be really, really scary, because you're basically taking a construct that you have felt really comfortable in and that society feels very comfortable in and just said, whoa, I'm not doing that anymore. You're going to eat a lot. You're going to eat all kinds of stuff, and that's going to be scary, and your waist is going to change, or it might not, and that doesn't matter. But it's scary. So I think that that's a big piece too, is that a lot of times we heard this in our group this past time too, that people say, now what? Mm-hmm. What do I do? What do I do? Because we're just so conditioned to follow rules that we don't know what to do. And that is the beauty and the major hurdle with applying intuitive eating. Like, it's the beauty and the beast, like all in one, because it really forces you to dig in to yourself and areas of yourself that you probably have been ignoring or don't want to listen to for your entire life.
Yeah, because a lot of this process is learning that it's not about the food at all, right? And that is like a really scary thing. And I've learned this in my own personal life, and we saw this a lot with our clients individually, and also when we were doing our group program in the spring, is that once you finally are not so 100% focused around food and shrinking your body all the time, this other ugly stuff starts to come up, which is what you were trying to numb out with food. And so, going back to your point about the rules, like when you take those rules away, it's like, well, what now? Well, so that initial period that you see all the time on Instagram of intuitive eating is like, oh, I'm intuitive eating. Like, I'm just going to eat, all, as Christina says, all the donuts and all the bonbons forever. And like, you know, all of the cakes and all of the things that you are restricting. That's the key word there. Intuitive eating doesn't mean you're just eating like whatever the hell you want in that whatever the hell you want means standard American diet and McDonald's and cakes and cookies for every meal of every day, because we all know that that's not going to make you feel great, right? And then as nutritionists, we know that's not the best way to fuel your body to feel good. That is not a cause of intuitive eating. That is a reaction to the restriction that you had put on yourself before you started intuitive eating. So whether you just decided to go off the diets that you were doing, or you went from extreme dieting to trying to go to intuitive eating, whichever one of those you chose, you're going to have that reaction. We talk about the binge restrict cycle all the time, is a period of extreme restriction, then combined with some stress or whatever it is, some triggering event can trigger a period of overeating or binging and just really not feeling good. And then that shame spiral that we have talked about before, that's not caused by intuitive eating. That's caused by the previous restriction and then taking away the rules. And your body in this period is kind of really challenging you. It's like, oh, you're going to let me eat these things? Are you sure you're going to let me eat these things? Let me eat as much as possible. And let's see if you're really not going to go back to the restriction that's been your pattern for so long. Because that's the cycle we've all been stuck in, is that we restrict, 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 and then you completely binge or go over the edge or whatever it is you want to call it. You eat to the point of being physically ill or feeling really bad about yourself or feeling guilty or ashamed or any of these things. And then it's the whole diet starts Monday mentality. And so your body is really testing that out and saying, oh, are we really not doing this thing again? Like, are you sure? And it's kind of pushing you to the point of seeing, how far can I take this before you'll actually push me back into restriction? And this is kind of the point where a lot of people get stuck. It's like, okay, I'm trying this whole intuitive eating thing. I'm trying to listen to what my body's telling me. And all it's telling me that I want right now is candy and cakes and carbs and cheese, like fill in the blank with whatever you've been restricting, right? It depends what diet you've been coming from. Of course, you want all of those things because it's like the forbidden fruit, because that's what you've been telling your body that you can't have. Our goal here then in intuitive eating and in any of these more neutralizing programs, which is what Christina and I try and do, it's like, it's food neutrality, it's body neutrality. It's not like, I love all foods all the time and I love every single part of my body all the time. Like, that's not a super realistic goal to be attained or to even be shooting for. And for some people,
it's also intimidating.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a barrier to entry, right? And so it's more, let's try and normalize those foods, because when all foods are equal and you do realize that you can eat whatever food you want, the foods that used to be really scary, that you used to binge on, that you used to hoard in your fridge so no one else would eat them and then you would just house the whole thing, you don't then binge on those anymore because they're not forbidden foods anymore. And you can eat it today. You can eat it three times today. You can eat it tomorrow. You can eat it whenever you want. But I think the very hard work is then getting from the, oh my God, I want to eat all the things because I haven't been able to eat them, to that neutrality point. That's the hardest part right there.
Yeah. I think another important piece of that is that the road to the food neutrality is different for each person and it takes time. And the reality is you could be in the, I'm no longer in this restrictive cycle, this like famine, like eating all of the things we talk about in the metabolic adaptation. That's the more scientific approach to it. But if you think about it like a famine, right? You can stay in that famine state, that like, I'm no longer in a famine kind of state where you're eating all of the things for an extended period of time. And it's going to take however long it's going to take your body and yourself to figure out where is right, when it's right for you. And when you feel, when your body truly feels like it's going to be taken care of and not going to be restricted, that's different for each person. So when you start doing it, and I think that the challenging part too, is that everyone thinks that like, every diet out there is like this 21-day, 30-day, whatever kind of like fix thing. And
but they're marketing it as a lifestyle change.
Yeah, but it's a 30-day Kickstarter or like whatever it is, right? That's going to lead you to
diet forever.
Yeah. So this is the diet for you. But this is it, they give you the idea that this is the quote unquote successes are supposed to be in short periods of time. It doesn't take a long time to get into it. Whereas this is the actual, like the complete opposite. It's not going to happen in 30 days, or it might. It depends on each person's individual body. And I think that's a big piece too, is that we're so used to things being quick and easy and being within 30 days or 21. I'm thinking of like two major diets, but, like 30 or 21 days. And that's just not realistic. And to be honest, if you really sit down and think about it, were either one of those successful either? Probably not. They just gave you the perception of being successful. And we're using success in quotes because the idea of success is through weight loss, right? So I think that that's really important to kind of note too, is that this isn't a 30-day program. It's not something you can just say, for the month of July, I'm going to start intuitive eating. And for that entire month, I'm going to see how it goes for me. That's not the point. The entire month of July, you're trying to get out of famine mode, and that takes time.
Yeah. And I think going back to what we were saying before about working and progress and success, this is why we're so messed up when we're trying to cross this bridge into intuitive eating, right? Because if you do one of those 30-day things, one of those 21-day things, they tell you exactly what you should look for as markers of progress, as markers of success. There are now books that tell you what you should expect every single day of this 21-day thing, of this 30-day thing, of this 6-week thing, whatever. There are benchmarks to look for, right? We don't really... Well, we're going to talk about some of them today at the end of the podcast, but there isn't a lot of literature or research or podcasts or anything about this out there. Is like, here are some like guideposts to look for if you're progressing or moving forward on your intuitive eating journey, right? Like, we're stuck in this whole is it working model in the first place because we're so engrossed in coming from these things from diet culture. Like, I mean, think about every January. All these diets promise to do things for us, right? To make you lose weight, gain muscle, get rid of all your food sensitivities, kill your sugar dragon, like make you sweat unicorn tears, basically, and like have sunlight like shine out of your eyeballs or something like that. Like, that's how we know those diets are like quote unquote working, because they do in these 21 days, in those 30 days for a lot of the people that do them, they ponied up to those promises that made at the beginning of the program, because you're following that program to a completely obsessive T. And then the difference with intuitive eating is like, it's not making promises that you're going to lose weight in 30 days. You're going to be able to listen to your body in 2 weeks. You're going to be able to, you know, do all those things. It's not like we're shooting for this pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's more like you're looking at a star, or you're seeing like a light at the end of the tunnel, and you're like gradually going towards it. But mm-hmm. There's not these like straight markers of success or that it's working or progress. And the reason that we're so confused about that is because we're coming from diet culture. So like we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, like there's the huge re-education period that needs to happen sometimes in conjunction with this like refeeding period that can happen at the beginning of intuitive eating. So you don't feel like you're off your rocker, you're just out of control, all the things. And like, you are going to feel a little bit out of control, I would say, if you're doing this in the right direction, right? I don't want to say you're doing it right, but if you're heading in the right direction, because if, like many people do, if you have used food as a control mechanism in your life, whether it's to try and control your weight, control your perception to other people, control your appearance, to just control something when it feels like everything else in your life is out of control, if you're taking away those rules, by default, you are going to feel a little bit out of control. And then the scary thing with that is we've been told by diet culture, if you feel out of control, this means you're going to insidiously gain weight, you're going to lose your health, blah, blah, blah. And that's all associated with the being undisciplined and unmotivated, and you're a failure as a person, and just, you know, failure is the opportune word around all of this. So of course, then we get scared and we go back to these other controlling rules and yes, no foods lists and everything, because we've been conditioned to believe that if we feel out of control, we're doing it wrong. It's not working. I shouldn't be feeling like this. You know, the shoulds, the shouldn'ts, the yes and no's, like the guilt, the failure, all that stuff. So like, of course you feel like it's not working, because the education that you've received around dieting and progress and success that are all equated around weight loss and aesthetics and muscle definition or like fat loss or losing inches, you're not seeing that immediately. So of course you're confused. Of course you feel out of control. Of course you feel like this isn't working, because if that's what you're using as your measure of progress, that's most likely not what you're going to see at the beginning of intuitive eating.
Yeah. I think another piece too that I want to go, like you've been kind of talking about this whole time, but that I think fits in, is that it's really hard to, when you're in this state, like what you're talking about, when you're trying to get out of this like restrictive mode and that you've been using this as your control mechanism, what happens when you finally give up those rules, right? And you start to move forward, it's really hard to know what to do. If like, let's say you don't want to feel like, let's say you eat pizza all day and you're like, wow, this is great. I have no rules. This is awesome. I'm loving this. I'm glad I get to enjoy the pizza, but I don't feel good and I want to feel better. It's really instinctual to say, okay, what do I know? And how do I go back to that and use that while I'm doing intuitive eating? So there's a huge piece that I feel like has to happen, and that we have to look at the nutrition, and I'm using this in quotes, like the nutrition information that I have, that I know in my mind, that it's actually through a dieting lens and not through true nutritional lenses. That's where, to me, if we're going to be dismantling all of our food rules at the same time, we can't remove and not rewire at the same time. And so there we have to then say, okay, if those rules are no longer going to be applied, then what am I supposed to do from here? And how do I distinguish the fact between dieting nutrition versus, dare I say, real nutrition? Like, you
know what I mean? Like, well, it's like bro science versus real science.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how do I know the difference between, and how do I read between those lines and figure out where it is? And I think that that's an important thing to then look at, where I'm hearing my nutrition information, where am I gathering it from, and what types of promises are those people offering?
Yeah. What are the motivations behind what they're telling you? Are they trying to sell you something? Like,
or is this, am I getting my nutrition information from someone who's promising weight loss? Because if I'm getting my nutrition information from places that are promising weight loss, then they're coming at it from a weight loss mentality. And this is not a nutrition outside of dieting lens. It's within a dieting lens. So that you have to then dismantle that and take that with a grain of salt and say, okay, if this is where I'm getting this from, where do I then I have to call it where it is and say, okay, I'm getting this information from such and such person. What is their perspective? And if that is that perspective in alignment with where I want to be in my life? No. If you're trying to intuitively eat and move forward and be anti-diet, then no, that person's not going to fit in anymore. And they need to be removed from your social media feed, your Facebook, your newsletter, your stuff, because then you're going to continue getting that nutrition through a dieting lens overload. And it's and if you're getting it from there and you're continuing to get it while you're trying to work on being anti-diet and trying to understand gentle and true nutrition and understanding what the body needs, then you got to shut those down, because it is going to make, it's like, I don't know. It's like trying to break up with someone and still dating them. Like,
yes,
I've done that.
Like, haven't we all done that?
Like still dating them and be like, oh, I'm breaking up with them. But like, yeah, you're still with them. It's the same thing.
Or you know? It's like you've broken up with them and you like continue to hang out with them. It's like,
you
it's not,
to talk to them. Yeah,
it's not going to help. But so two things about that I wanted to say is, one, like, this is a really good opportunity. If you've realized that you've broken up with dieting, but you're still seeing them, right? Now is a really empowering time for you, in that you get to choose what fills your social media feed. You get to choose what conversations you engage in and what kinds of talk you engage in with other people. You get to choose what comes out of your mouth. You might not get to choose the magazines that you run into at the grocery store, right? But as much as you can, you get to choose the messages that you're receiving through feeds that you can curate, whether those are digital feeds or in-person feeds. You can just tell someone, I don't really want to talk about this anymore. And then you just move on to the next conversation, right? And then I think the other thing that a lot of people get confused about with intuitive eating, and this is why in the like original program, there are guideposts, right? And I think this is a point where Christina and I differ from the original program in the way that we teach how to eat in tune with your body. Basically, is like when you work with clients and then you tell them, okay, we're not going to diet anymore and we're taking away the rules, a lot of people don't do very well with that. Because if you are a person who has done very well with the yes and no, who has used an aspect of control with food, who has been adhering to some kind of rules for their entire life with dieting, you can't just take the rules away and then expect them to be successful. So what we do is, through real nutrition, we help our clients, one, learn how to listen to their body so that they can figure out, okay, what are some very general guidelines that I know are going to work well for me, while at the same time not excluding any foods unless you're like truly allergic to them, right? Because we're not telling you, like, if you're allergic to peanuts, please don't eat those. That is not part of your like intuitive eating freedom. Right? And so that's a whole separate conversation. But for the most of us, if you don't have celiac or you don't have a true like anaphylactic allergy, most foods are available to you. That being said, there are plenty of foods that are designed by scientists and food companies to make you hooked. These are called hyperpalatable foods that will jack up your taste buds. Yeah, they taste really good, but at the same time, they're very nutrient poor. So while they shouldn't be excluded from your diet all of the time, if they become the majority of your diet, you're not going to feel very good. So that's kind of where these guidelines come in. That being said, you can't go straight from the dieting mentality to then these new guidelines, because that's when what happens, what Christina said before, is you're bringing the dieting mentality to intuitive eating, because then you're just creating another diet out of intuitive eating. And innately, you're just going to be like, okay, well, these foods don't make me feel good, so I'm never going to eat those. And then they could become the forbidden fruit again. And then you have a day or a week or whatever where you're just super stressed. And then you go eat those food and you're like, oh my God, I'm failing. This isn't working for me. And so that's when this whole re-education process comes in, while we're trying to get out of the dieting mentality, while we're trying to learn how to listen to your body, learning to hear what is my body actually telling me, and then learning to listen to those signals and honoring those signals. Because there are a lot of people who, because we've been dieting for so long, they don't understand what true hunger feels like. And then on the other hand of things, there are plenty of people who have been dieting for a really long time. They know what hunger feels like, and they associate hunger with doing well on their diet. So they've learned to ignore their hunger signals. And so that's another part of the re-education that has to happen as well. That's just like throwing a whole nother wrench into the equation.
Yeah. I want to make a quick caveat, because I agree with obviously everything you just said. So, but because we have
what?
Perspective. But I want to make a quick caveat, because I feel like it's a little dangerous to say that we're talking about real nutrition and that dieting, other nutritionists maybe aren't providing real nutrition. I don't want to say that that's what's happening. They're not providing you with bad, unscientifically sound nutrition advice. That's not necessarily what's happening. But what they're giving you is nutrition through a dieting weight loss perspective. And what we're doing and what we're providing you and what our goal is for you to understand nutrition on a fundamental level, regardless of weight loss. Mm-hmm. That's not the point. And that the point is to understand, how do I fuel myself on a fundamental level without thinking as far as weight loss is concerned? That's the lens that we're coming at. Whereas the other lens is weight loss is the ultimate goal. And so we manipulate, and this is what we're taught, you can manipulate nutrition to then provide the
end result that they want.
The scientific you know, mathematically, you should lose weight if you do this, right? Like this is, we manipulate nutrition to promote weight loss is what we can be taught as nutritionists. And what we're doing is we're taking the manipulation out of it.
Yeah.
And providing just the fundamentals.
Neutral nutrition then.
Neutral nutrition. So that's like the, you know, the that's what I wanted to like give a little bit more around perspective. Cause I feel like people could easily come back and say, are you telling me that, you know, that sugar isn't inflammatory? Are you telling me that, you know, all these things? And I know we eye roll, but there's, you know, there's stuff in there. So I want to put that perspective in there. And for people who maybe aren't as far along as others in this journey, this might be a really great point to enter in and say, oh, wow, I've never thought about it that way. It's nutrition that's been manipulated for weight loss as the end result, whereas we're providing unmanipulated nutrition advice.
Yeah, and that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize is nutrition studies can be manipulated, like scientific studies can be manipulated to give you the results that you want, because everyone's bioindividuality, everyone's body, everyone functions with such a different compass and with a different diet, food plan, diet in the sense of a food plan that works really well for you for your entire life that you follow, right? Not a strict set of rules or anything. But there are people, I mean, just think about people come from all over the world, right? If you come from an Asian culture versus if you come from an Irish culture versus if you come from a German culture, African culture, whatever it is, there's going to be a set of foods that your ancestors ate that are probably going to work better for you than would for someone who came from another continent, right? We're all different. And that is kind of like the beauty and the curse of nutrition, is something different will work for everyone. So what these weight loss focused programs can do is seek out those people for whom this particular manipulation of the study over the control, so the change variable, is going to produce the result that they want that is in accordance with the keto diet, with the paleo diet, with the whatever weight loss focused diet it is, and they can show you, no, this really works. Yes, it did work for those group of people. Does that mean that it's going to work for everyone? Definitely not. Does that mean it's the best thing for everyone? Definitely not. And this also does mean that they're focusing on this from a weight loss focus or from a, I mean, supplement companies do this all the time too. It's not just with weight loss. It's marketing supplements. It's marketing drugs. It's marketing certain foods or cutting out certain food groups, like all the hype about coconut oil the past couple of years. It's just like blown way out of proportion. But the point is they're not doing these studies with a neutral lens, like whether it's weight loss neutral, diet neutral, body neutral, all of these things. It's not coming from a neutral lens. It's coming from the lens of, I want to achieve this specific end to show that this diet, supplement, program, whatever it is, works really well. That being said, not every study does this. So please don't come at me and be like, not all scientific studies are bad. I know that. Okay. We just want to give this other perspective to you guys. This is why we have an entire grad school course on research methods and statistics, so we can learn how to interpret these studies and basically how to tell truth from fiction, from this does have some bias to it. Yeah, to bias, right? Like there could be some truth to those studies, but there is a bias behind it. Just like there are plenty of trained dietitians and nutritionists out there who will do multiple things just about weight loss, right? I mean, that doesn't mean that the evidence that they're using is scientifically unsound. It just means that it's coming from a weight loss lens. And so if you're trying to approach things from a non-diet lens, you might want to take the information or the studies that they're providing you with a grain of salt, because those are not going to support your own goals.
Yeah, I think this leads perfectly into some of the action steps that we were talking about, like how we can redefine what quote unquote working is, mm-hmm. and to use different barometers or different like mileposts and guideposts or whatever you want to call them for as you're going through it. And I think a major one that I talk about a lot and that I find to be the most helpful even for me in my own personal journey with this from before is, instead of thinking about things so matter-of-factly, is to come at it with a mindset of cultivating curiosity. Like being curious, thinking to yourself, okay, instead of thinking, I'm going to take this for who they're saying, and this involves me too. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're saying, okay, I'm following all this, how do I then look into what they're talking about and question it? You should be questioning it. I want you questioning everything. I want you being curious about where you're getting your information from, where that person's getting their information from, and what lens they're coming at, right?
Not like, just about nutrition either.
Yeah, exactly. And not just about nutrition.
Like think about the news, you know, same thing.
Seriously, this can be applied to every aspect of your life. And I think in so many ways too, like actually I follow, and we'll have to put it, but a therapist, Emily, at Emily Capanellis. I think that's how you pronounce her last name. I don't know, but we'll put it. I'll share
in the show notes.
But she posts this thing that like, once you start intuitively eating, it's like intuitive life. Mm-hmm. And it takes over everything because you can't turn it off. Once you start being curious about where you're getting information from and wondering where it's coming from and the lens and the bias that's coming, and start listening to your own body, you're going to start listening to your own body and your own mind in all aspects of your life, which is incredibly empowering, which was what makes like intuitive eating, one, so scary, and two, at the same time, so incredible as you start to cultivate it more. So that's my number one step, is be curious and is to start being, and also like, and come of that, like with curiosity comes with receptiveness, right? Like being receptive to learning, being open to learning more about it and thinking about it in a deeper way, in a different way, and knowing that, you know what, maybe I have been listening to my nutrition advice that's come from a lens of weight loss. And, you know, maybe I need to look outside of that and think about this from a different perspective. And maybe I need to do more education on that, or uneducation around it too. Mm-hmm. And then another thing I was thinking about too is like, that goes along with being curious, that I find to be really effective too, is I think so much of what we do around the way that we eat comes from such a place of hostility. And we think in such a hostile way about food and about ourselves, so that we think like food is either, we're either like doing it right or we're like totally messing it all up, you know? Yeah. And it's just either one or the other. And that's such a hostile, judgmental way to go about it. And so I encourage people to start looking at it more from being curious rather than being so hostile, and kind of giving it that perspective. And again, applying it to what you're eating. Like why does this food make me feel a certain way? You know, why am I feeling this way? Where have I heard that this is where is this coming from? Where have I heard that this is bad? Why do I feel this way? Why am I feeling like either physically feeling this way or emotionally feeling this way about this food? And where is that coming from? Mm-hmm. Being just curious, I think, is like the biggest step you can take.
Yeah. And like you were saying, like that being curious and applying that to every aspect of your life, but especially applying that to things like food, when we've become accustomed to like using food and dieting down to an exact science, right? Like a lot of people have a roadblock when it comes to intuitive eating because they say like, I just don't understand how my body is supposed to know exactly how much I'm supposed to eat or exactly what I'm supposed to eat for, you know, whether it's a certain health condition or it, like triathlons or like CrossFit or anything like this. And it's just like, you don't need to know exactly to the gram amount of what you need, unless you're maybe like an Olympic athlete. And that's going to be the difference of, you know, getting first and second in the Olympics, which like, by all means, go for that. You know, like that's your life, right? But for most of us, you don't need to know to the X amount of grams of whatever, because your body, once you learn to listen to it, will tell you if you need more of something, Because say you go for a run and or whatever, and for some reason you don't have, you know, whatever it is, whether it's a nutrient, whether it's a micronutrient, so a vitamin or a mineral, whether it's a macronutrient or something like that. And then you're extremely tired and sluggish and everything the rest of the day. You probably needed more carbs. Because, and then you look at that from a neutral lens of like, oh, I don't, it's not like, oh, you need more carbs because I just worked out. And so I need X amount of grams of carbs. It's no, I probably need more carbohydrates because carbohydrates are a quick source of energy. And so if I'm feeling really tired, that would make sense that I just need some more energy. And okay, where can I get this energy from? This specific source of food. Okay. And this is also where the education piece comes in, because say you go through that whole scenario and you understand that you need more energy because you're really tired, but then you don't know where that can come from in foods. I mean, it could be an iron thing. Iron is one of the like biggest nutrient deficiencies in the whole world. And so if you notice that you're consistently tired and you're eating a vegan or vegetarian diet, you could be deficient in iron. But if you don't have that nutritional background, how are you supposed to know that? Right. And another thing that people really come back to in intuitive eating is like, oh, I just feel like I need to like balance out what I'm eating or like balance out my macros. Cause I was like, I thought I was listening to my body and I think that I was eating, you know, way too much of this or way too much of this. And what I would say in terms of the like cultivating curiosity, you were eating way too much of fill in the blank according to who, you know, like, and for what? So again, it's like, according to who, what is their bias? What is that messaging coming from? What are they trying to, you know, what is their end goal? Like, because if they are a practitioner who is focused purely on, you know, you got to have washboard abs and like huge butt and like you have to have like weight loss and inches lost and whatever, all this stuff, then yeah, according to them, you probably weren't doing something right. But according to you and according to whatever your truth is, if you're coming from this non-dieting and I'm just trying to eat for what makes me feel good from the inside out, nobody else can tell you that but you. And it does take a lot of self-experimentation to figure out what is going to be right for you. And that's also going to change for you throughout your entire life. And I'm sorry, Christina, I give this example all the time, but like Christina just had a baby last year. And so was it last year already or earlier this year? Last year.
She's 10 months old. Yeah.
My God, it is last year. So anyways, your body goes through many phases in your life and it goes through many phases or seasons of needs throughout your life, which are going to change. And so part of this cultivating curiosity is also being open to the fact that your needs are going to change and that's okay. And it's kind of like, it's kind of really hard because you will try out all these different things and you're going to feel like you fail a couple of times, but there really is no failure here. It's just discovery, right? It's just cultivating curiosity and figuring out what is going to work best for me right now. The hard thing is it's probably not going to stay that way. And it's hard to be okay with that, right? But I mean, even if you've done diets before, you know this, like you do one diet and it works really well for you when you're 20 and you try it again when you're 30 and you're like, well, this doesn't work anymore for me. And you feel like you're a failure. No. Turn that around. That program or whatever it was is just not working for you.
It's no longer right for your body.
And that's okay.
And again, we go back to what does working mean to you,
yeah. Like,
you know, what does that mean to you and what are you working towards? If you're working towards no longer dieting, then that's not the route for you because it's a diet. If what you're looking for is creating a reciprocal relationship between your body and food, then by all means, sounds like this is working because you're adaptive and you're changing and your body is changing and you're being receptive to that change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes
so
sense.
In addition, oh yeah. In addition to the curiosity, let's give people more action steps of like things to look for if this process is heading in the right direction for them.
Okay. Well, I think part of it is, do I feel uncomfortable?
Yeah.
You know, like, do I feel really uncomfortable? Because when you think about it this way, think about a lot of areas, like times in your life where you went through like massive change. It's really uncomfortable and it challenges you in a different way. And you have to kind of look at it that way. So I think that's one big one. Am I uncomfortable? And do I feel like, is my dieting world and my dieting like language inside of me getting louder? Probably, because if it is, it means that it's like, you know, you're really challenging a lot of foundations within yourself. And I think that that's a really, really beautiful sign of progress, although scary. It's a sign of progress in my mind.
Yeah. And then at first, those signals and those thoughts and everything will be super, super loud. But one way to measure like progress here is, over time, are those thoughts becoming either quieter or fewer and farther in between? Because if this isn't like, if you go from 100% of the day, you're thinking about dieting and controlling your food and counting your macros and planning your next meal and your next exercise and all the things, and then you go to doing that only 80% of the time, that's still progress. And that's something to be celebrated. And I think that people don't talk about that enough because there isn't a lot of talk about like the whole spectrum of going from being engrossed 100% in diet culture to like 100% intuitive eating, which like really does that even happen for anyone, you know? And it's like, there's this kind of roadblock that happens because it's so intimidating for people to think of, oh my gosh, I've been dieting for 20 years. Like, how am I ever supposed to get to the other side of this? And it's like, no. If you can go from 100 to even 95, that is progress. You know, because if then next week you're at 90 and eventually you get to 50, then you're only dealing with this stuff half of the time that you used to. And so it's like, am I having less negative thoughts about food and my body? Am I having less consistent thoughts about controlling my food, about going back to dieting, about all of these things? And it's not, am I having no thoughts about this? It's, am I having less thoughts about this? Because that's a sign of progress.
Or is my time, like my spiral time, shortened?
Right? Yeah.
Like I talk about that a lot, about trigger resilience. Like, how resilient are you after it happens, you know? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to have stuff that come up. But I think, so the steps, one was, you know, to identify that you're progressing. I think that's a big step. Right? Is saying like, is this happening less frequently? And am I able to call it out when I see it more? Mm-hmm. Am I able to see something that comes up on my feed or in my podcast and say, okay, that sounds kind of diety. All right, I'm going to take that with a grain of salt. That to me is huge progress, to be able to distinguish between the two.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. And to be able to say, okay, what can I take from this that works for me? And what can I take from this that I want to ignore? What am I going to leave behind? Because I think there is this all or nothing mentality that happens a lot in dieting, where you're reading the book and you either have to follow it all to a T or you have to ignore it all. And that's not the point either. There's a lot of really great pieces that could be really wonderful foundationally for you that you might want to collect and hold on to and then leave the rest behind.
Yeah.
And allow yourself to be open to that.
Yeah. And that can happen in podcasts. It can happen in social media. It can happen in books. Like, this has been happening to me a lot this year, is I will read a book about health and nutrition, and there's a lot of great information in there. Like, it's about hormones or it's about cravings or it's about whatever. And I'll get like 50 or 100 pages into the book and I love everything that they're saying and I want to like shout it from the rooftops. But I've learned this year, you got to get to the end of the book before you recommend it to anyone, because this happened. You remember when this happened to me? I was so annoyed. Yes. So it's like, I read the first like 80 pages of this book and it was so great. And then after that, it was amazing. And then after that, it was like the next chapter was, oh, you have to lose weight in order to feel good about yourself. And it was completely steeped in everything diet culture. And I was like, oh my God, should I not listen to anything that this book said? Because clearly this is the lens that it's coming from. And it was like, no. Just because something is coming from this lens doesn't mean that all of their information is wrong or that it's bad. It's just, okay, this is the lens from which they're coming. So what is the information that I can take out of here and apply with my own lens that then I can use in my own life to either create some change or just build a knowledge base or whatever it is. And I think that this notion of being able to pick and choose, it also applies to foods. And this is something that will happen the farther you get along this journey of getting away from the yes and no of I'm not supposed to eat this, or I'm not allowed to have this, or I can't have this, or whatever, is there will be a spread of foods in front of you. You can eat whatever you want, but then eventually you get to the point where you're like, I don't really want to eat that food because either it doesn't make me feel great, or you might discover that some of the foods that you used to binge on, or some of the foods you used to restrict and then would binge on because of it,
you don't even like them.
Yeah, you don't actually like them that much. Like, I went to a baseball game last night and we got gelato and it was delicious. And then halfway through, I was like, I don't really like this that much. And I was like, wow, I had a moment where I was like, this never would have happened to me before. And this isn't like an altruistic thing of like, ooh, look what I can do now. No, it's just like, this is something that can happen to you, whether it's with broccoli or it's with gelato or it's with cookies or, you know, whatever your food is. If you're not allowed to have it, you're going to want to eat all of it. As soon as you take the forbidden fruit aspect out of it, and then you learn how to listen to your body's signals and honor those signals, you then have the power to decide, okay, do I want to eat this food? Do I not want to eat this food? Also, after I start eating this food, I can stop eating it if I don't want it, which is something that I never would have been able to do before. Like, if I started eating something, I had to finish it so that I could get it out of the house so I wouldn't have to think about it anymore. And then the next day I could repent for it, because if I was going to eat half the gelato, I might as well have eaten all of it because I'm going to punish myself and diet starts tomorrow the next day anyways. Right. And so Christina's rolling her eyes because I mean, this is something we've all gone.
I'm not rolling my eyes. I have a thought.
Oh, that was just a really big breath. She's preparing herself. Let the thought loose.
No, what I was going to say was, when that happens to you, because it's inevitably going to happen while you're on this journey of intuitive eating, I think the question, and this again goes back to being curious, because I really do think that this is the foundation to start with, is when that happens to you, when you have a point where you're like eating all of the things and, you know, and you feel like you're kind of out of control while you're intuitive eating, ask yourself, am I still restricting? Am I still putting food into categories? Am I still mentally restricting this food? Am I still feeling as though it's not a good food, quote unquote, a good food? And how can I move forward that? That's the way that Dana led to this gelato, like, aha moment, right? Mm-hmm. Is because she truly, at this point now, all foods are cool. Like, it's like, that's to me the real, that's the progress. That's how you know that it's progress. When I knew for me, the first time is I used to never be able to buy a pint of ice cream without eating the entire thing. Mm-hmm. And then one day I put it in the refrigerator. I maybe had like a couple of bites of it.
Not the fridge.
That's right. In the freezer. And I forgot.
I bet it all melted and I couldn't eat it anyways.
Then I put it back in the freezer. No, but no, I forgot about it. And I remember like maybe like a couple weeks later, I was in the freezer and I thought, ooh, ice cream, fun. And I had some more of it. And that to me was the moment when I realized, oh wow, I'm truly not restricting anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the sign of progress.
Yeah. Right?
Like, and that takes time for each person. So don't think that, and again, this goes back to the, this isn't a 21-day program and this isn't a 30-day program.
Yeah.
It's a life. Like, it's really dismantling all of these things.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, we've reiterated this a bunch of times, but trying to get out of the all or nothing mentality when it comes to progress and whether this is working or not, in the sense of like, once you start intuitive eating, it's not promising you those things like diets do. It's like, you're never going to think about food again. You're never going to be hungry again. You're never going to have cravings again. You'll never want cookies again. Like, I was in grocery store the other day and it's like, keto, the best diet. You'll never be hungry again and you'll lose weight. It's like, of course we think, of course we're so confused when we come to these other things, is because the marketing around all these diets is like, you're going to lose weight. You're never going to be hungry again. You're going to have the most fabulous life ever. It's kind of like those, like Coke commercials when everyone's like so happy and they're having like the best time ever. And they want, the marketing is they want to make you believe that drinking a Coke will make you happy, right? It's the same thing with dieting, is they're promising that like, just by making these changes in your food, you're going to get rid of all of the problems in your life and the pounds are going to melt away and you're never going to think about food again and you're never going to have cravings again and you'll never want cookies again. And it's just like, let's get rid of the nevers, because that's not true. You're most definitely going to have cravings at some point. You're most definitely going to want cookies, right? But at the same time, with intuitive eating, if you continue to do this and you make it past that refeeding stage, right, you're not going to just want cookies and donuts and candy and everything for the rest of your life. And it's also not realistic to expect that you're not going to have to check in with yourself every once in a while, right? I mean, you'll go through different phases in your life, different exercises that you do, different stress periods, you'll move, you'll have a kid, you'll change relationships, you'll go back to grad school, whatever it is, all of these things where your body's going to have different needs that need to be met. And so you're definitely going to have to check in and say, ooh, you know, like I've been feeling really good eating dairy for the past couple of years, but for some reason, like it doesn't feel good right now. And so you just got to check in and you can do it. And we highly recommend that you get some support for this.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Because you have to, and I think we said at the very beginning, I think one of the major things you can do to kind of help yourself along this journey is to start to unfollow certain accounts on your Instagram and in your newsletters and like whatever's coming into your email and everything too. Because you're going to be getting these messages from other places. And I think it's important for you to kind of see it and then say, okay, this isn't for me right now. This isn't helping me on my long-term goal on having a happier relationship with my body and food.
For show.
What?
I said for show. For show. Yeah. Okay. Well, you guys know Christina will be back on the podcast at some point, but do you want to tell people where they can find you for a very nicely curated social media feed that doesn't talk anything about dieting?
With no weight loss lens.
And lots of cultivating curiosity.
Cultivating curiosity. I get really into it. Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Christina Hoyt Nutrition. And yeah, that's major, where the major party is. And then I have my newsletter too, and you can sign up for my newsletter on there called Eat to Thrive. And yeah, those are the best places to find me. My website too, nourishmbml.com.
And Christina and I also run our Break the Diet Cycle group together, which we are going to be running again in October. So stay tuned for details for that. And if you are interested in just learning more information about the program, or if you know you want to sign up or whatever it is, because we are completely revamping this round, you can email me, or you can email Christina, or you can DM us, or all the things. We're on all the places. So we'll be there.
Slide into my DM. Yeah. I've always wanted to say that. I don't have a reason.
You can slide into Christina's DMs.
That's really lame, okay? But yeah, I want to hear from you guys. So yeah, message us and ask us to get involved in the next round. I'm really excited about it. We're having a lot of stuff. We had a really great time the first round and we learned a lot, and we are adding in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of content. Do you remember what I used to do at the end of every recording that we did for Break the Diet Cycle? Just like the big movie cut, like and cut. And that's the end of the podcast.
That's the end.
Oh my God. Okay.
Welcome to podcast episode number blah, 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 blah. We're really weird.
I'm going to 100% turn this into a blooper reel. In all seriousness, though.
We had a purpose for
what we do. We do have a purpose for this podcast, even though we've been recording for however long now. Okay. Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes, and come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes.